When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This week's episode of the Dublin to Denver podcast with me, Colm Cronin, and I am delighted to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Stuart Roach. Stuart, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well, Colm. Very well. Good to talk to you. A quiet enough week in Broncos country, but your Broncos fans, your two dedicated podcasters will somehow manage to spend 20-odd minutes out of a week which nothing has happened. We may take a trip down memory lane. I'm not feeling much bleak Irish poetry this week, all I have to say. I don't see it happen. I don't feel there's a need to crack open the collected Irish poetry book to see. But then again, who knows? You might have read or found some maddening statistic about the Broncos' incompetence over the last few years that would drive me towards a Patrick Kavanagh or a Yates or somebody of that ilk. But all very good. Very good. I mean, we did pick up a pretty interesting free agent signing, which we'll get to, and a signing I think we both like. And there's been a little bit of noise, kind of consistent noise, Colm, about the Broncos and what they plan to do in the in the NFL draft, and we'll get to that too. I don't know. I mean, this is the season where, you know, the first couple of waves of free agency's finished. We're waiting for the draft. So this is really the sort of the phony war part on we always do need to take everything we hear of the NFL with a pinch of salt. But there is consistent noise coming out about the Broncos making some moves in the draft. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, I suppose some of that noise coming from Sean Payton himself, more than anyone else. He may have had some of the more interesting comments at the owners. Everyone's been down in Florida this week at the owners' meetings, and I suppose a couple of things obviously jumped out. One was around when Sean Payton was asked if it was difficult to move on from Russell Wilson despite the record cap hit, and he simply said no. which tells you, I think, everything you need to know about the way in which that particular relationship ended. I do think in the fullness of time, we may find out more. I think there is more to that. And I think the other thing we have seen, certainly I have noticed with Russ and now at the Steelers, is nothing has changed, Stuart. He does not appear to have learned any lessons. He had videos of him working out with his sunglasses on indoors. And we talked about it last week. I mean, to me, the fact that the Steelers needed to assure him that he was the starter and put out the stories about the multi-year contract, I think that was a little bit telling. All the podcasts I've listened to, and actually, it did come up, had the good fortune to have Peter King here in Dublin at an event, and he said he thinks that Justin Fields is a more talented, at this point, QB than Russell Wilson. He thinks that Russell Wilson will start the season. He doesn't know if he will end the season. He certainly thinks that Justin Fields that they will do a deal. And Justin Fields will get the multi-year contract. He doesn't think they'll pick up the fifth-year option. He thinks it'll be perhaps something similar to perhaps what Jordan Love did with the Packers. and that ultimately Justin Fields will be definitely the starter for the 2025 season. And some of the other podcasts I've listened to, the national media podcasts, have talked about, they feel that Justin Fields will be the starter, perhaps as early as week 8 or 9. So anyway, that is for the Steelers to sort out. But you did mention the talk of trade up, and some of that came from Sean Payton, who was asked if it would be realistic for the Broncos to get up as high as 4. And he said, yes. For like, again, is that Sean, is that lying season? Is that the Broncos are prepared to put a package together that involves Patrick Surtain? Is that the Broncos being willing, because to give up again future picks, if you were to go up and get a quarterback, if that's JJ McCarthy, if that's Drake May, if he happened to slip, like, who are you? And I think Josh Reynolds it's decent to me. He's scrappy, right? Which is what this team needs a little bit of. Is a bit of bite, a bit of fight. That's no harm. But if you are to trade away more picks to get up, and the Broncos would have to climb a significant amount in a trade up scenario, like, what are you putting around this young QB in the future? So, look, we're a month out at this point, less than a month, so we'll finally get answers. And I think this offseason, more than others, has felt longer, just because we don't have any answers. And it would be a lot easier if we were picking at 6. But anything that you wanted to add, I suppose, on the never ending search for the quarterback and all the talk that surrounds it, and ultimately that this is the problem, Stuart, is that when you don't have a quarterback in the NFL, it is going to dominate everything that exists. One thing I will just say that Peter King said, you may actually want to dig into the bleak Irish poetry after this. He said, he said he was asked about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and he said, I'm not sure, that Patrick will, he has 3 rings. The Patrick Mahomes obviously has 3 rings. Now he needs 4 to equal Brady. He says, I'm not sure he'll get the 4 to equal him. I'm certain he'll get 5.
Oh, Jesus.
So we may want to look into that big bag of bleak Irish poetry, Stuart. Because if Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs end up winning 8 Super Bowls over the course of his career, it's going to be very bleak in my Broncos country for the next decade or 15 years or so.
You know, I've only just recently been able to watch the, in fairness, rather excellent Dynasty program on Apple about the New England Patriots, because it feels like there's a sort of a safe distance now. You know, it would have been too soon if it had come out when Brady was still there. So it's a little bit easier for Broncos fans to stomach. But the thoughts of the Chiefs rivaling or you know, equaling or perhaps even bettering that is one that should fill all Broncos fans with a gloom unrivaled by the poetry of Patrick Kavanagh and the Great Hunger. I would sort of use as the benchmark for just how bleak things would be for us. I haven't got the Great Hunger to hand, Colin. I must have mislaid my Patrick Kavanagh's collected works, but I'll dig it out at some point, hopefully before the end of the show. I just think, Colin, to go back to your point, and there's a lot of things that have kind of brought us to this moment in regards to the trading up potentially, and about both Sean Payton mentioning it. George Payton also said we're still in the quarterback market. You know, we feel we like Stidham. And we feel like we're going to add a veteran, and then we'll see about the draft. So, I mean, I think, Colin, it does all come around to the fact that if you don't have a quarterback, you kind of don't really have anything. So you're either putting pieces in place for when you go and get the quarterback, or you're doing everything you can to get the quarterback now. And, you know, these are two completely different sort of strategies. You know, I can understand there's so many holes in this roster. We'd be better off, you know, going and getting an elite wide receiver, or and getting a really established tackle, you know, a tight end like Brock Bowers, for example. It could be knocking around when we have a sort of a pick. And I get that. I can understand that. And I think there's value to that. But to me, it's just an example of us continuing to punt when we need to go for it in 4th and 1, I think, because, you know, you kind of go, when is this ever going to happen? Like, when are they ever going to get a quarterback? Next year is not a great year for quarterbacks. We've talked about this already. To me, this is the year that if you are going to make an aggressive move up, then I think you have to do it. One of the things as well, Cobb, I think that there's been kind of a frenzy now that was kickstarted by the Vikings making that trade to give themselves extra ammunition so they can move from 11 up to 4 or 5 or whatever. And I think that's kind of, we still seem to be dealing with the after effect of that, because I think that kind of changed how everybody kind of felt that the draft might shake out. I think we were confident enough that, you know, we're standing around at 12, we could get JJ McCarthy, maybe we could make a move up to sort of 9, you know, that could get us in the range. The Vikings pulling the trigger on that trade, I think, spooked everybody. So I think now we are, you know, yet again, though, Colin, I have to say, I think we are being reactionary here as opposed to proactive. You know, you'd like to think that maybe the Broncos should have been the ones who got themselves that extra ammunition. They could have been the ones that people are sort of thinking about. You know, but that hasn't happened, so that we're going to have to deal with that. I mean, I do think that, and I'm bemused by the fact that there's talk about Drake May sliding in the draft. I don't know why that would be. As I said before on the show, to me, he reminds me of Justin Herbert. We've seen the damage that Justin Herbert's been able to do to us. I would be delighted if Drake May started to slide, and I would absolutely advocate for us to make a move up, but that was the case, to nab him before somebody else does. You know, I think the problem, Colin, we have is, like, you know, even if the Patriots decide not to take a quarterback at 3, which they would be mad to, but they could get, you know, they could take a Marvin Harrison Jr. They could trade back a little bit. They would then be in a, you know, they need a quarterback. The Raiders need a quarterback. It's not just the Vikings. You know, there are teams around us. There are teams that could trade back. If we don't move up, Colin, then we're in a really precarious position, sort of an American football draft version of Russian roulette, where you're kind of wondering if somebody's going to move ahead of you, take a Bo Nix, take Michael Penix. The Spencer Rattler stuff, Colin, I just think he's the quarterback that people lose their mind over, because he had a good week in the Senior Bowl. It's like they've just completely forgotten Spencer Rattler's entire collegiate career, of which he is incredibly hit and miss. And I would almost guarantee that in 2 years' time, we probably won't know where Spencer Rattler is, because he'll move from team to team. Remember, was it Malik Willis? Was he the quarterback that everybody went crazy for a few years ago? Oh, he's going to be a first rounder. I have no idea where Malik Willis is. I think he's at the Tennessee Titans still, but you could tell me differently. There are 5 very good quarterbacks in this draft, Colin. There's arguments for and against. Caleb Williams is he's the number one, I think, by some distance. But after that, everybody else seems to have their qualities. Somebody would argue Drake May is better than Jaden Daniels, vice versa, so depending who it is. After that, then you are looking at, if you don't go up and get one of those guys, Colin, you're looking at almost certainly Stidham and maybe a Ryan Tannehill. And that's not going to be a year that anybody's going to enjoy, let's be brutally honest. At least if you have a quarterback, if you've gone up to make that move, I do think that will infuse the organization, the franchise, the fans with a sense of hope. I think the Broncos have been so bad for so long. They've tried everything bar drafting a rookie early enough in the first round. I think the fan base will be more patient. I hope they'll be more patient than they have been in the past. I think we all realize that this is going to take a little bit of time. But at the moment, Colin, if we don't make a move up, I just think as a franchise, we're treading water. And I think you have to do something. You have to pull the trigger. You have to be aggressive. As you pointed out, Sean Payton's, what, 60 now? Either it is Dak Prescott and they're all in for that, or he needs to get a rookie quarterback as soon as possible, because he needs that development to start to happen. He doesn't need to wait another 2 years, another 3 years. like, it's great in theory. Oh, let's go out and get Brock Bowers, or let's go and get one of those Thomas, the brilliant wide receiver from LSU. That's great. And then we'll have him for next year when we go and get our quarterback. Sean Payton's not a young man, Cole. You know, and all the while he's looking across, as you decided to, you know, ruin my Good Friday by talking about Peter King and his prediction for the Chiefs. Like, looking across our division, the AFC West is dominated again by the Chiefs. He needs stuff to start happening now, Colin. So that's why I think perhaps it's not just smoke. I think maybe we will attempt to make a trade up, depending on what way the draft board shakes out. I don't know if we'll make a trade up before the draft, Colin. I'm not sure if that's something that I see us doing. I if we were thinking about making a trade up, I think I would like to see that, because I think then you might witness what in particular the Vikings are going to do. But you know, I am firmly of the opinion that this thing needs to get started sooner rather than later, and if it involved giving away some future picks, then I'm okay with it if it means that we go out and get the guy that Sean Payton really likes. Because in particular with him as a head coach, Colin, I think, you know, this is not unique to Sean Payton, but of a number of head coaches in the NFL, and there's ones that you think are absolutely tied in to their quarterback, Colin, Sean Payton is one of them. And at the moment, he doesn't have one. So it's almost like if you're going out to get Sean Payton, you kind of need to know that this is part of the package. We thought we had that bizarrely with Russell Wilson, who is the most un-Sean Payton-like quarterback you could think of. That didn't work predictably. So now we are at the stage where you're kind of going, we need to get this done, or else what was the point in getting him out of retirement? What was the point in giving a first-round pick to the Saints? So I think that I still have hope that it's going to happen, Colin. I mean, I know, you know, we're sort of broadly on the same page about this. I have been advocating for the Broncos to pick a quarterback in the first round and early in the first round for as long as I can remember. And this is the year to do it. This was the year to not pick 12th. This is the year to pick 6th or 5th. We didn't do that. We won some games we probably, previously might have lost. But I think I'm tired of waiting around, Colin. It's been incompetent year after incompetent year. 2015 is a long time away. And while I understand the let's go and draft elite weapons for this quarterback who doesn't exist yet, might make more sense to me to actually go and get the quarterback before we start thinking about putting pieces around him.
Yeah, I know. I would echo a lot of what you've said there, Stuart. And I'll give a line which somewhat bleak, right? Oh, but equally hopeful. And it's prose rather than poetry. And but it comes from one of our truly, truly great writers, and that is Samuel Beckett. And it's his most famous line. Ever tried, ever failed, no matter. Try again, fail better. And I think that's one of the issues for the Broncos has been being gun shy. And kind of, if you make a mistake, you have to know, I suppose, why you made that mistake, but you equally can't be afraid of, you know, going out and trying it again. And that is what made the best quarterbacks, what makes the best head coaches. Like, when you look at what Peyton Manning, John Elway, and of course Brady and Mahomes, when they make a mistake, when they turn the ball over, when they're intercepted, they go out and they don't stop trying to make plays. I mean, that's the important thing. So when it comes to quarterback, I don't think you can, you know, we've never had the failing in the top 10 because we've never taken a quarterback in the top 10. So to me, look, I would agree. If they don't take a QB in the first round, well, that would be a different conversation for us to have.
If they don't take a quarterback in the first round, Colin, then I think I will have to bring out probably my favorite line, my favorite two lines from a play ever, also written by the great Nobel Prize winning playwright from Dublin, Samuel Beckett, which is from Waiting for Godot. And the line is, Estragon says, I can't go on like this, to which Vladimir replies, that's what you think.
anyone listening,
if you...
yeah.
2015 you, or 2016 after the Paxton Lynch experiment, you said to me, I can't go on like this. And I don't want to go on. That's what you said.
If there are people out there, if you are unfamiliar with Samuel Beckett, familiarize yourself with Samuel Beckett. Truly one of the incredible playwrights. Sure, the other piece, I suppose, that caught my eye over the week was that a bit of fun, more talking point. You know, there's nothing real about it. It's the over under win totals that people are expecting. And the Broncos at 5.5, which is the third bottom, but almost to me seems generous. But just so we have, like, the Broncos in recent years, 7.5, all the way back in 2020. They were at 7.5 again in 2021. In 2022, people got very giddy about the Broncos. That was Russell Wilson's first season, and Nathaniel Hackett. And they had the Broncos at 10 wins. And last year, the Broncos were at 8.5. So it's a measure, I think, of where the team is at. That's not to say that you know, the things can't change and change quickly. I mean, the Texans are possibly an example of how things can change, but they had the ammo. But I did think it was interesting that essentially the Broncos were third from bottom. Anything that's kind of caught your eye over the last week?
I did watch the sort of the fallout from that column. You kind of, like, if you can sort of be a little less emotional about it, you're kind of going, like, barring something miraculous happening at the quarterback position, and I include, you know, getting a rookie QB in, like, that doesn't seem unreasonable. In regards to win total, I mean, I think six or seven is probably about right. You know, and let's be brutally honest, if it hadn't been for an historic run of defensive takeaways, sort of in the second quarter of the Broncos season last year, we probably would have won about 5 or 6 games, to be honest. So, you know, I think that obviously we're all going to be biased towards our own team, but there's not really a huge amount to kind of argue there. I mean, I did see an article that went through each individual game, and I think we were favored in like 4 of them. You know, and that includes home field advantage. Maybe it was 5. And again, you look like we don't have, it's hard to know at this stage as well, Colin, when you look at the schedule, obviously things come into play. Players from other teams could get injured before you play them. Teams haven't finished filling out their roster. Somebody could strike it rich, you know, like last year. I think probably an awful lot of teams would look at the Texans, kind of went rookie QB. That should be fairly straightforward, not a tremendous amount of weapons on paper at least, and then they completely turned it around. But you know, I do think that seemed fair to me. I didn't have much to, you know, like sometimes you look at an article, you look at something like that, kind of go, no, that's not right, I disagree, and here's why. I think that the most Bleeds Orange and Blue fan would have had a very difficult time trying to counter the argument about the Broncos 5.5. I mean, I as I said, I think 6 and 11 is probably most likely next year. No, the only other thing, Colin, that caught my eye was we signed Josh Reynolds, not the Sky Sports UK presenter of long term, former NFL Europe kicker Neil Reynolds. We signed Josh Reynolds, who I think is a good player, and I was impressed with him last year. I think he worked up a good rapport with Jared Goff. He's got something about him, as you say. He's got a bit of dog in him. I think he may not be the biggest guy, may not be the fastest guy, but he does seem to have the ability to get open, and he did perform in big games. I know he did have a crucial drop on fourth down, which was unfortunate, and then he followed up again with a 3rd and long, which unfortunately led to them having to punt. But to be fair, Colin, he is a player who has consistently improved, And he scored 5 touchdowns last year as well, which is, from a Broncos wide receiving perspective, is not something for us to sneeze at. So I thought he was a decent pickup. To me, Colony kind of fits in with the other pickup we had, like Jones, the safety, and Roach, the defensive tackle. They're good players. They've started to blossom later on in their careers, and I think he's a decent pickup. He's not going to send, you know, the Spagnuolo from the Chiefs to bed crying or saying the rosary because he's so worried about the damage he's going to do to him the night before the game. But he's not a bad player, and I think I'd expect him to be a contributor to the team, and I like the pickup. I'm not, you know, doing cartwheels down the street, but I think he's a decent addition.
Yeah, I would agree. It's decent addition. It's fine. But look, it goes back to everything we've just been talking about. Ultimately, if you don't have a QB, forget about it. I also don't know if there's anyone that Steve Spagnuolo goes to bed worrying about. My goodness, that's why Peter King is able to be so confident, because let's not forget they were able to sign him to an extension. And when one is looking at defensive coordinators who are former head coaches, I think the Chiefs might be somewhat better placed than our beloved Denver Broncos. That is it for this week. We will be back again next week when, mercifully, we will be closer to the draft and knowing what may happen. And getting away from silly season. You can find Stuart on Twitter at PurpleHeartTC. I'm across social media at Cullum from Cork. If you enjoy the podcast, please do rate, review, and subscribe, or tell a friend. It really does help to let people know. And all that remains to be said at this point then is go Broncos.
Go Broncos.